comes, coming down the last few seconds.
There you are. Here you are.
There it is. Bing.
We're starting.
I'm not nearly as eloquent as a singing bowl, but that'll have to do. My name is Sean Bavala. I'm the executive director of Storyteller.net.
Yay!
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. Contrary to what a lot of people think, I am not a webmaster who's interested in storytelling. My primary work is as a storyteller, a professional storyteller, who happens to do a lot of stuff in web work. So Storyteller.net was not first. It was the storytelling work that was first and really is primary to what I do to this day. We are going to be running short on time, so I'm going to condense some things. And I want you to think about for a moment the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. Now, the story of Jack and the Beanstalk as we know it is the mom has this cow, and then they go off, they sell it, they trade it for magic beans, they throw the magic beans out the window, right, and
beanstalk.
There's a beanstalk. Jack goes upstairs, he steals stuff, right? He steals stuff. Pretty much what he does. To somebody who may or may not have done something to him, Tim Arendetta, from the viewpoint of the giant, he goes up there, he steals stuff. How does it end for Jack when we're not being nice to preschoolers? How does it end for Jack?
Great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It's great for him. So what happens to the source of great wonders in the world once that wonder source falls to the ground?
Dies.
So what if the giant has more to offer than just a few golden eggs?
Take it to it.
What if the giant has another cloud vacation home? Where he's got stuff that Jack hasn't even imagined. Well, I think for a moment, you think about Bill and the beanstalk. Bill goes up to the beanstalk, and when he gets up there, he sees that the giant is there, and he looks in the window, and he sees the giant has all of these wonders. And Bill leaves. He goes back down the beanstalk. The next day, though, when he comes up, he goes back up that beanstalk, and outside the front door of the giant, he leaves a bag of Purina Golden Goose Chow. And the next day when he comes up, he leaves Golden Harp Wax. And the next day when he comes up, he leaves 10 ways to tune your harp you didn't know you could do. Okay? All right? He comes up the next day and he leaves a set of instructions on better uses of bones than for bread. And each day that Bill goes up, he leaves something else for the giant to use until finally one day, when Bill gets to the top of that beanstalk, the giant is waiting for him. Uh-oh. Are you the one who leaves all that stuff for me? Yes. I'd like to talk to you. What do you know about mating golden gooses? Do you think we could get more golden goose? And so that relationship's developed. And so what happens from that point is that Bill and the giant become friends. It becomes a relationship that works. There's no stealing, there's no dying, there's no nothing, and eventually he gets shown the vacation home. Well, not only is there a golden goose, but there's a golden stove, and there's bags of golden money, all that storage stuff. Okay, yeah. Two ways to do it. You can do it this way, and you get one-time use. You get golden eggs from the giant, then he's dead, or he kills you, or he grinds your bones and makes you dead. Or you can do it this way. You can do it in relationships. You can do it with Bill. We get shown all kinds of stuff. So what are we talking about when we start talking about social media, the internet, etc.? We're talking about these three things: relationship, trust, and authenticity. Relationship, trust, and authenticity. Bill develops a relationship with the giant. I had much more to that story, but we're out of time. You get the idea, right? Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So he builds a relationship with him. He builds trust with him. He doesn't go to the giant and start taking his golden egg. He goes to the giant and gives him what the giant needs to move forward. Everything you just heard from the first part of this presentation, developing relationships, being with people, learning, all of those things, okay? And authenticity. Jack brings him. Bill brings him what he can bring him. He finds the stuff that he needs, and he brings him what he can bring him. He's just got a whole library full of how to raise a golden goose. He's got all that stuff. Yeah. Relationship, trust, and authenticity. We're going to come back to this page in just a little bit. We want to, in my short session here, we want to talk some very practical pieces about some social media. There are a number of social media pieces out there, but let's talk about the ones that people most often look at. All of these opportunities, all of social media is an opportunity for you as a producer, an organizer, etc., to provide learning opportunities for people who are your potential clients, customers, guests, audiences. All of these are opportunities for you to give and give like crazy. To provide learning, to get people to be in relationship with you, to be in trust with you, and authenticity. So what are the differences of all these things? We're really going to cover this fast. What are the differences of all these things? MySpace, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. MySpace is probably the one that people first think of when they start thinking about social media, at least in the beginning. MySpace was something once, it's become something else now. And so the image I'd like to leave with you for MySpace is MySpace really is like posters on the wall of your kid's room. That's what MySpace is. Right now it's more bands than it is anything else. It's a lot of young people. MySpace tends to kind of skew towards young people from about 14 to 25. It kind of skews in that age range like that. It's not so much a place anymore for maybe a lot of your more sophisticated work, but if you're doing a fringe festival, if you're doing a lot of fringe work, if you're doing body storytelling, whatever that happens to be, MySpace might be perfect for you. So the image I'd like you to think of is posters. That MySpace is a really great opportunity to share kind of the energy about the band, the fringe, all of those things. For a lot of people in production and producing, if you're trying to aim for a very young audience, MySpace is not a bad place to do it. They want interactivity. They want to share. They want to download videos. They want to be able to listen to stories, etc. So MySpace may work really well for you if your audience, if you're looking for a much younger audience, if you're looking for more kind of a cutting-edge thing, anything that says 55 minutes of sex, you know, can do really well on MySpace. All right, that's a good place for that, for people to see that kind of stuff. So MySpace, consider MySpace to be posters on the wall. It might work great for your event, and it might not. Not every social media is going to work for every event. And what works for you in one event may not work for the arts organization across the city. You don't have to use everything all the time. So consider MySpace that. LinkedIn is interesting. LinkedIn is, and I probably put the mark in the wrong place, LinkedIn is more of a business community. It tends to be more like a resume. If you're looking for sponsors for your organization, if you're putting on an event that's for lawyers, if you're putting on an event storytelling and organizations, which I think is the other the SIG going on now as well, LinkedIn is a great place for you to be. LinkedIn, the people on LinkedIn spend a lot of time trying to look good. It's all about power. It's all about what you know. It's all about the people that know you. It's about the recommendations that you get. LinkedIn has more rules, probably, if you want to call them that, than probably any other form of social media out there. It tends to be professionals. It tends to be men. It leans more towards men and males and more professionals in kind of that middle-aged range than any other of the social medias. Now, does that mean women can't use it? Of course it doesn't mean that. There's lots of women on there. But it lends itself more towards that. So if part of your event is a more formal event, you know, it's a four-hour workshop on ways that attorneys can use storytelling in their work, LinkedIn is a great place to be advertising that stuff. So consider your resume. Some people have used the term gated community. It's not the place where you're just putting stuff out all the time. It's much more formal. You wouldn't take your formal resume or your CV and just start throwing it out to the wind. You're much more specific about who you're connected with. People on LinkedIn tend to not just click the friend button all the time. They tend to want to know who you are. Okay? Twitter and Facebook. I'd like to consider Twitter as kind of a giant mixer or a cocktail party. It's lots of people talking about lots of things all at once. Mm-hmm. And if you were to go to a mixer or a cocktail party, whatever term you want to use, if you were to go to that, you would not walk in there with a big giant signboard that says, "Hire me!" You wouldn't do that, right? Okay? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't stand in a corner waiting for people to come to you to get your flyers. I don't understand. I opened a Twitter account. Nobody came to our event. You wouldn't do that at a mixer. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't stand there. So Twitter is more like a cocktail party or a mixer. The age range is kind of all over the board there. You can pretty much talk to whatever range you want to. Part of who you end up as an audience comes from how you participate in the event. If you want to talk to the 20-somethings, you can do that. If you want to talk to the older people, you can do that. But Twitter's kind of that mixer thing. You want to learn to talk to people. You want to learn to give a little bit of content. You don't want to walk up to people and start shoving business cards at them. Twitter's not necessarily about that. Twitter's about giving a lot of interesting stuff. You know, when you hear a conversation, say, oh yeah, I know something about that. You know, I have an article about that. Here, come read it. That's the kind of simple stuff you do. Facebook is, I like to consider Facebook a club. It leans to more women, teachers, librarians, professional women, things like that. It's more like a garden club. It's more like people that kind of gather around certain interests. You can give a little bit more content. If you went to a luncheon is different than a mixer, right? You know, a luncheon, you're sitting across the table from people, maybe a little deeper conversation happens. Mm-hmm. Facebook is a good place for that. If you're promoting a family event, if you're promoting more of a general audience event, Facebook's a great place to be at. Twitter is faster. You can get some good stuff off of that. But Facebook's more of the family, the kind of the larger events where people would develop some relationship with you. So that's what the club is. Posters, resume, cocktail party or mixer, and club. All of this, as you've heard before, is about what can you give back to the communities you're going to be part of. You have clearly heard that. In the first part of the presentation today, you've clearly heard talking about people want learning, people want opportunities to pick up material, to have something new in their life. No matter which one of these you use, you're still going to be giving away some content. So I have a job for you. You can find yourself a blank piece of paper or two. Do that right now. Pull one out. Pull yourself out a blank piece of paper, maybe two, something to write with.
You don't have to give this away.
Yes, you can leave it in your journal front. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. You're not going to turn it in. I want you to walk out of here with a absolute hardcore, what can you apply when you get back to your offices on Monday piece of information. And all the social media that I do, I'm giving away information constantly. And there, I use some programs that help me to do that, but I'm giving away things constantly. I want you to think about one of your events. Just get focused on one event for the moment. I'd like you to think of 25 ways that your event is unique, interesting, special, rewarding, or the last one is WIIFM, what's in it for me, which means from the perspective of your audience, delighting your audience, as Lauren had talked about earlier. What is it that you're going to give your audience? When they come to your event, their question is, what's in it for me? Learning, fun, social, whatever. Okay? 25 ways that your event is unique, interesting, special, rewarding, or what's in it for me? These should be two-sentence statements. Two-sentence statements. 25 ways that your event is interesting, unique, special, rewarding, or
so
what's in it for me.
So two sentences for each 25?
Two sentences for each 25. Start writing. Go. Mm-hmm. 25 ways that your event stands out. Why should people come to your event? Two-sentence descriptions. Tops. I'd like you to stop for just a moment. I want to add to this mix, in this list of 25 things, add to this list, what are the pieces of content that you can give away? And Eric's going to hit more of this in just a few minutes. What are some of the pieces of content that you already have that you can give away freely to people in social media? Articles, videos, recordings. What is it that you already have that you can give away freely? Now, some people at this point tense up. I don't know if I have permission. We'll deal with permission, okay? What do you have that you can give away as part of this content? Add that to this mix for you as you're writing. What do you already have?
Jeff Gere, you're not allowed to play because you have like 9,000 pieces of content.
Well, that's just one I love.
Yeah, if you can just limit that down to 25.
Let me stop you there. How many people have 25? Oh, amazing. Well, here's what I'd like you to do.
What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to use the relationships you already have in this room, and I'd like you to talk to the people at your table, and I'd like you to share lists. And as you hear other people share, you're more than welcome to borrow their idea. If you hear something that's not on your list, write that down on your sheet. You're going to bend it to fit maybe your event, but use the power that's already in this room to create more ideas. So talk to people at your list. See if you can't get a list of 25 things for your event and talk to the whole table together. Go.
Provides an opportunity to think about something you are unfamiliar with, some new ideas. And that just can't get to anyone else. But I learned an awful lot by talking to somebody who I wouldn't see in the Midwest by standing with her voice. Things that we can give away. From the board's point of view, we have the articles in the 25 years or more of Storytelling Magazine. Talk about what we need to know about that. And we have an index.
I didn't even know.
Well, it's already there. So the index will be available as getting the articles. Head of volunteer.
I'm
a very good librarian.
Opportunities
for tellers to connect with each other. Partly through the SIGs, they can tell her to page directory. You need some sort of a blog where I can say I'm looking for somebody who's teaching preschool and understanding the stories or something like that. So we need something like that.
You need to exercise your imagination.
Making a list of making a need to do.
Post the current magazines online.
The workshop is an opportunity to learn from the
master. We're teaching a course on storytelling.
California.
And they don't get the magazine. That's a part of it.
If we give away.
They can access it online.
Maybe we could give away the links to multimedia video.
We have all our old books, articles, and books, CDs, and bumper stickers.
We can also give away, which we don't have totally updated, connections, opportunities. We have the calendar that we give away. And you can list your information. If you click on our website, you can see. and check out what's available.
Let me have you stop there if I could, please. Think about the demographics of the group that you are trying to reach with your event. Now, we're talking specifically today in this kind of Gen X, Gen Y, 20s to 40s. But think about your event for a moment. And when you look at your list of 10, 16, 25, 90, whatever you got right now, do these two sentence pieces of information talk to that group that you're trying to focus on? For example, we know in Maricopa County, where I live in Arizona, that if we want to do a family event, we know three things. It must be free, it must be family-oriented, so it's got to be very G-rated, and it can't be more than 30 miles away. We know that. We know that in Arizona, that if I am doing the Mesa Storytelling Festival down that part of the Phoenix area, nobody from where I live is going to go. We know that. So when we're talking about that group, we need to be really focused on the people that live within that geographic area of the Mesa Storytelling Festival, that we must provide free things. Now, when you look at your demographics, of the 25 things you've listed, are you talking to those demographics and the stuff you've listed? Or are you basically just putting out your own stuff that you really like, that you like to say? I wrote a book called Daddy Tell. It teaches dads how to tell. Put the book down, tell stories. Y'all don't know that. I don't preach to the choir in that one, do I, right? But tells them how to tell stories. Wrote a book. Okay. I know who I was writing to. I was writing to mostly young men. I was writing to my brothers, who at least one of them, if you hand them a book, goes, "I don't read." Okay. So I wrote a book. That's that. To which my youngest baby brother, at almost 26 years old, who has a child of his own, I gave them these books for Christmas. A month later, he comes to me and goes, "You know that book you gave me?" I said, "Yeah, because we read it." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah. And you know what? What you say in the book? It works." He says, she's telling me stories now. Now, I've been a full-time storyteller for 25 years. Could I have written a book like this?
Oh, you bet.
Yeah. Okay. And that was the first draft, right?
But, yeah, because there's another one that's about telling the teenagers, which is the second, turned it into a second book, actually. So my audience that I was talking to were young fathers who mostly don't like to read, who are internet-based for the most part, and I wanted the book that they would read. Now, on top of that, it's great I put out a book. How can they have it all rushed to Amazon? Why? Because they don't trust me. People don't know who I am. Who's the nut job with the ponytail from Phoenix? They don't know who I am. So how do I get people interested in my book? I do it through social media. I give away content. If you go to daddyteller.com/vids, V-I-D-S as in videos, there are 10 videos on there, and there will be more, of me doing training, short training pieces, about the Daddy Teller book. What I want people to do is get to trust who I am before they dump money into the book. On top of that, I want the early childhood educator, so I also am aiming at, to say, this guy's a pretty good speaker, we should book him. Okay? My content for the Daddy Teller book is aimed at those people. People will say to me, well, it's not a very thick book. That's because it's not written for you. It's written for very specific people. So my content, especially on Twitter, okay, is aimed at this audience of essentially men, young men, and also as a side aim is preschool teachers and early childhood educators as well. So through my Twitter account, my content is talking about these videos, is putting out articles, is having written articles and on the website and putting links to those from the Daddy Teller account that say, come and read this information, come and learn more. Here's what I've discovered, and what a lot of people panic on when we start talking about content. They start to say, but if I put everything out there, then why should they come to me? I have a question for you, mostly a room full of storytellers who put your hand up earlier. Have you got more to say than you could ever say?
Of course.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And if you're organizing a festival, do you have more material than you could ever say? I'm giving the stuff away because I want to drive people into that. I want them at the top of my funnel. I want them at the beginning to say, I can trust this person, I learn from this person, there's content, there's video, there's et cetera, there's learning that would drive me to pick up his book and pick up the second book when it comes out that will drive people to that. That's the same process with you guys with events. We want people to know that they can trust us. When you say to people, you should really come hear storytelling, you know to this day that a lot of people think, I should go hear storytelling. And then the mama bear said, someone's been eating my... Right? So are you putting out videos on Twitter links, Facebook, etc., YouTube, where people can say, that's storytelling? He said a naughty word. That's storytelling? That's what they were talking about here, this kind of content. He's going to talk a couple more about content. So what do you put on Twitter, Facebook, all of that stuff? You start to put lists of materials out like you've just done. And we'll do some more with this in just a moment. So that every day, you're posting a new piece of content online. You're posting a new piece of content. Come see the video from XYZ, or Two Chairs Festival, whatever. You know. Come hear this, come see it. Come see this recording, come do that. So that every day, you've given away information. You're giving it away. Instead of having the giant move and leave no forwarding address. You now have the giant coming and saying, I need more from you. Okay, here's a golden egg. I need more from you. That's what we're talking about here. So what do you do with that?
I gotta say this.
Yeah.
Notice he didn't say give the chicken. Right?
Goose. Yeah.
Your goose. He gave he just said, here's a golden egg. He didn't say here's the chicken. Because you give them the chicken, they don't need to come back to you. Right? You give them the egg.
Right. And I want to know when I'm working with people, what else do they have to offer? The golden goose may be just the beginning of what people can offer in the relationship that we form. We need to start looking at it, and I think we mentioned this earlier, that when we're in relationship with people with our events, it's long term. Mm-hmm. I mean, how clearly did we say that the idea of the comp ticket on the back of the business card? I'm doing something with that. I mean, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's brilliant. You know, but then people won't pay. If your event is good, if your book is good, if your content is good, they will be back, and they will tell their friends, and they will bring four people the next time. And if we have wine served at the event, they'll bring eight.
Yeah.
Okay. See what we're talking about here on how do you do this? All right, so what happens once you've got all this content? I have 113 daily storytelling tips that I post on Twitter and Facebook. It's posted at noon every single day. 113. Now, I did not sit down and write them all as you're doing right now. I did them daily for a while, but I held on to them. I built a list. And so every day at noon, one of the 113 story tips, two-sentence story tips, 140 characters, appears on Twitter. Now, at noon today, I'll still be talking to you. That tip is still going to show up on the Twitter account. There are services out there. I know I write terribly. Hootsuite, as an owl, HOOTSUITE.com. Hootsuite.com. That allows you to take your list of 25 things and pre-program them into Twitter, Facebook, etc., so that once a day it will drip the next piece, the next tip, into Twitter.
Do you have 113 every day?
No, I'm not speaking
one,
13
is
I have 113 and one per day.
Okay.
So if I do it Monday through Friday, I have 6 months of material.
I want to say 7 days left till the Talk Story Festival, and a little twink.
Yes.
6 days left tomorrow, 5 days left the day after that, so that every day there's a little Twitter knock on the in bin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, come on over.
Right. You can do that. You can do that with both these services we'll talk about. You can definitely do that with Hootsuite. You can say on October 10th, I want it to 7 days until the festival or whatever your day begins, etc. You can do that. You can do that. But every day, I give away a piece of content, tip, etc. Every single day, and it runs basically 6 months. I do Monday through Friday. So I have all that content. I'm not involved in that every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But my content still goes out. In addition to that, I have like another, 45 articles, videos, etc. that also drips into that account as well that kind of just keeps content moving so that it's constantly, there's always something new coming up on the stuff that I do.
You're saying account, so, is there a subscription fee?
We'll talk about that, okay? So there's two parts of that. There's two services. There's lots of services that do it, but let's talk about two of them. Hootsuite is free currently. Okay. The disadvantage of Hootsuite is...
It's about your spelling. It's H-O-O...
It's fine. HOOTSUITE.com. Hootsuite, as an owl and hotel. Yes. Well, thank you, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Hootsuite.com is a free service. The disadvantage of that is that you can't program them in and just let it run for the next 6 months. You have to actually say, this one goes on this date, this one goes on that date. You can pre-program them 30 or 40 days ahead, but you have to keep re-entering that stuff to redo it. Social Oomph, SOCIALOOMPH, Social Oomph. The easiest way to get to them is through one of my sites, which is storytip.net/SO, storytip.net/SO. Social Oom costs money. It's $25 a month. However, I can control as many Twitter and Facebook accounts as I want. I can control all that, and that automatically regenerates. So when one tip goes to the bottom of the list, so it just keeps running, going through that process. I probably have six different accounts that are controlled with that with different content. Yes, in the beginning, writing all that content is a lot of work, but once it runs, it just goes. It just runs through there. So Social Oomph is a way to do it that gives you, that you can just kind of keep things running longer term. Now, you don't want to have five things that you keep repeating every 5 days.
Right.
You want real stuff. You want 10 different audios, you want 10 different videos, so that you've got 60 or 70 things that drop in one per day. You've got a lot of different content going in there. I give away a ton of content because I have more.
Mm-hmm.
I have more.
And then if somebody connects to a piece of content, I just stumbled on this tip and this is awesome. Do they have a way to get from that to past tips, or do they have to come back the next day? Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is a really good point, because what's going to happen with my 113, the next book that's already in the hopper is 101 tips about storytelling you didn't know. It's now that content is now being turned into a book that can be sold at the back of the room at an event. So if you can either keep track, you can search noon story tip, hash sign noon story, hash noon story tip, whatever it is. You can search that, or if you really like my stuff, that's one more reason for you to come buy the book.
But yes. It's always been my understanding that all these different social medias, you want them to send them back to your website.
Yes, yeah.
So all the different, one of the resources I gave you, Stellar, Interstellar Girl, she has a page of like 64 different types of social media. So, but it all goes back to your website.
So each of those tips would drive them back to...
The tips I give away without, for the most part, without any expectation or anything back. If the only thing people ever do in their lives is read my 113 tips, I've moved the art of storytelling forward. Now, my articles, the videos, that's you click to go read the article to see the video. That does drive people towards my content. I'm perfectly content with giving away, rotating through...
So your tips don't have links, go visit them.
Some of them do. Most of them don't, though. Most of them is just giving it away.
So, but somebody who finds one and goes, oh, this is really exciting, can they search back to find other ones?
I'm using the hashtags, they certainly can. Okay. What does Twitter hold? A dozen, maybe, these days, of old content? So, yes, they can. But also, if they really want to know more who about this nut is, up here in the corner of my Twitter account is my web address. Okay. You click that, et cetera.
And also they can subscribe to you on Twitter, right?
They can subscribe to you, and so you can follow it that way. I want to say two things very quickly so that Eric gets some time as well. I'm doing an event with some other people on social media and storytelling. How do we put these things two together? And it's completely driven through social media. We have a team of people at Twitter. One of the reasons I asked you earlier, do you have staff, is you've got volunteers somewhere in your world that would love to take over your Twitter account. Let them do it. Find some 20-something somewhere that just loves Twitter. Okay? I happen to have one in my house. Okay? I grew my own. That's a great reference. Okay.
But that took a lot of pre-planning.
It has to be said now.
Back in 1990, I was thinking, I hope social media comes about. This was expensive.
Starter.
So find people to do that. Find people to take over your stuff. You don't have to do it all. Do something instead of nothing. The other thing I would like to tell you about is I'm building a web page with all the links and stuff, everything we've been talking about. I'll be talking about in the marketing workshop tomorrow. This reads storytip.net/NSN2010. Storytip.net/NSN2010. And when I get back to Phoenix Saturday and Sunday morning, I'm going to complete this page. So when you get back to wherever your world is, after this weekend, I want you to visit storytip.net. A lot of the stuff I've talked about will be there. There'll be more links, there'll be more content, there'll be more video, some article links. All the stuff that you need on top of this stuff will be there. Do not laugh at me, okay? So it's all there.
If you don't write it down, you can be assured that pretty quickly Sean will send you an email.
And the last thing I'll say to you is I want you to pay attention to what you just did a few minutes ago and why that this ProSig email discussion list is so important. I told you to do 25. Some of you were really struggling. But I said, now go talk to the people at your table and ask them for their advice. That's what an email list is. Okay, here's the last thing I'll say. If you are interested in taking all of these 25 ideas and putting them together, I want you to start sending them to that ProSig discussion list. When I see enough of those lists together, I'm going to take those, I'm going to have somebody put those into Twitter form, I'm going to release that back to all of you, and now you will have a generic list of at least 30 things that you can dump into a Twitter account, whether it's Hootsuite or Okay. So I will produce that for you, and you can put that into your own account. There'll be generic things about storytelling, et cetera. We'll produce that. That will come from this event. So within the next week, send your list to the discussion list. I'll pull them, have somebody on the staff put those together.
Wow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay? So visit that. Come see this. All right. Excellent. All right, Eric. Thank you.
All right. Everything he said is brilliant. Right? It's just brilliant. And a lot of the stuff he's talking about, a lot of stuff we've been talking about, is accessible. It may not be accessible to you individually. You might be part of a generation that it's not accessible to. So you find that other person. I need that.
I'm going to give you yours. Hold on.
Okay. All right. Jeff, you're going to...
I want to see your face, Eric.
Here's my brain back here.
I want to see. Could you get up here for me and start writing on the board?
I'll do it.
Sure.
Is it? All right. Okay, so I want to speak. I want to teach you Latin.
Okay.
I want to teach you Latin. And I'm pretending. In fact, I don't even want to teach you Latin. I want to teach you Swahili. So we're going to start with something that when you're learning a foreign language that's not really even based in the Latin anymore, you're going to a new language. There's some new concepts you have to start with before you can begin having a discussion about in the language or about the language. And so I want to talk about content degradation. And that is why content goes bad. So there are three concepts in content degradation. The first is time. Could you write that first? Time. The second is exposure. And the third is access. I'm going to ask, does anyone have a container? I meant to bring my hat and I didn't. Does anyone have a container that I could put business cards into? It's big enough. Right there. Can I borrow your hat?
Yeah.
Can I ask everybody who wants to get a free thing during this presentation to put their business cards forward, and we'll put it in the middle of this hat. We'll put the hat right here. Pass the business cards over. We'll put them in the hat. If you'd like a free thing, a free object. So let's talk about time. So you have a piece of material. You have a story, right? That's been recorded. 50 years from now, is that relevant? Does it matter to your audience anymore? 50 years from now. Sometimes the answer is yes. Most of the time the answer is no. Your video of your particular concert in 50 years is no longer relevant. For many people, the clothing has made it completely irrelevant. Unless it happens to be that one storyteller who got that Emmy Award four times for that movie they made 20 years later, it might be relevant then, but it's highly likely. So time is a big factor in content degradation. Exposure is when people have seen it too much. If I get up here and I start telling you the three Billy Goats Gruff, I better be doing it completely original and different. I better be completely different, doing something that's no longer the similar, the same. And this is an issue with content. If you have a piece of content, and it's, you have to be aware of how much you're exposing your audience to it. And the third is access. Content degrades when people have the ability to get it whenever they want it. It's no longer special. They just go and they pull it down. I just had someone yesterday, Diane DeCasas, giving me a little speech about how my big problem is that I insist on giving everything away for free. So why should anybody buy anything? And I started laughing at her, and I said, someone just spent $30 on my CDs today. She just came to me and bought CDs. I'm giving you away right now. That, you know, they paid money because they wanted that other, whatever it was, the better access. But anyway, the point is that access is an issue. It degrades your content. If you can take each of these negatives and you can turn it into a positive. When you're looking at content, time, your event is happening, you get that up really quickly. So people are like, oh, I can catch the latest thing, right? Exposure, they only have a 2-week window, they only have a 72-hour window to download that thing for free or to buy that thing or whatever level of content use. And we're going to go through the levels of content use in a minute. But we can limit the exposure, we can limit the time. They can only download it once from that IP address. You can block an IP address, one download. And so they go back, it's gone. What happened? Well, you downloaded it. You know, I want to show it to my friend. Well, you got to go to their house. Or they got to do it on their iPhone. Or, you know, access, right? You get this, if you're on our email list, you get an invitation. But if you didn't give us the email address, no invitation. So someone called you up. Somebody said to me, I want that 7-part email course. You know, I have this 9-part, it's called the 7 It's called Zen and the Art of Storytelling in 7 Simple Steps. So somebody called me and said, I really want your email course. Can you mail it to me? I'm like, you can just sign up and get the emails. They're like, no. I want the whole thing at once. I'm like, okay, it'll be $100. They're like, no, I want it for free. Give it away for free. I'm like, well, then you can sign up with email. No, but I don't want to give you my email address. I'm like, well, you better go sign up to a free email on Gmail and get the email, you know. And that's what they did. You know, because that access was limited. That's the one place, the only way. So each of these things, this is the key to the new economy. These are the keys, right? That if you understand time, exposure, and access. And,
oh, yeah. Can I, let's apply that to Eric's famous podcast series. So
I am trapped. Before we get into that, I'm trapped. I have a legal contract that I started at the beginning before I understood these principles. And in my legal contract, I basically have made a promise to every single one of my guests, and I continue to make that promise, that my show will be available for free online forever. Mm. I have made that promise, and I will keep that promise because it's essential core value of my integrity with the community. So I'm trapped. So I can't really apply these.
In terms of what?
In terms of the fact that I can't limit access, I can't limit exposure, I can't control time. Now, what I can do is I can put commercials in it, I can cycle through commercials, I can have other content that changes or shifts. I'm actually starting a second podcast called Applied Storytelling, and we're going to go through how to do that in a second.
Okay, so I'm looking at how to make, at least for the discussion, if you all don't interrupt me, how to make these things work for you. And
oh, or did I get there?
Oh,
can I go on with that part?
Excuse me.
Okay. So there's different groups that have an investment in your content. And we need to just look at can I get my assistant again? Thank you. Sean did it. So there's 4 key groups that are invested. And this is really obvious, and I apologize, but that's just, you have to say it. So the first group, the most important group in my opinion, on the right-hand side, if you could just, is the storytellers. The storytellers have a huge investment. The time and thing isn't lined up, we're just writing the 4 things. So the storytellers, right? That's a big. Then we have the festival itself, right? They have an investment. Right?
If you're talking about...
Or the organizer of the event. You know, I'm saying festival, but I'm saying the person who the event, you know, you have an investment in the content. If the content, it is terrible, you're obviously not going to do anything. You're never going to move with it. Right? And there's a third group that's invested in your content, and that's, of course, your audience is invested. Because they're making recommendations, they're sharing it, they have an investment in that content. And there's a fourth group, which is invisible to most of you. And that is... the people who take that content and take it out into the world. So I'm going to say, currently you'd say old media or, but what's the word? I'm lost.
Old
gossip mongers?
No, it's the assimilate. I'll use the word, I'm sorry, I'm just dropping the word.
Probably invisible distributors.
Distributors, thank you. I'll go with that.
Dispersal agents.
So
let's not mention
the distributors have an investment. An example of a distributor, we made an arrangement, my local group made an arrangement with NPR. And we went on NPR and we recorded our stories at NPR and our audience was the 60,000 people in our area. Anyone else get an audience like that? Okay. That show was picked up in Minnesota. And another 90,000 people heard it in Minnesota. Wow. Alright? So that's an example of my distributor getting invested. And they're now really invested. They're so invested in what we're doing that we're in conversation right now of having in our town, because they're like, we want to bring them off, but it's $15,000. And I'm like, hey. I actually said, we'll do it for free, but we get to have our little commercial break during the thing about our organization and what we're doing. And they got really excited, you know. So we're going to, I mean, in terms of our audience, it's going to be the biggest audience we have at any single event. So going back to, so if you look at these investments, you have to take care of all these individual people who are invested as you're managing your content. If you don't take care of any of these groups, your content's going to suffer.
Yeah.
And what's particular, what's holding back the storytelling community is many of the storytellers have had really bad experiences with content being captured and not taken care of. And this is the elephant in the room. And we have to recognize it as festival, as people who are running events, we have to recognize that. And we have a responsibility, and I will come and track you down and come to your house and threaten you if I find out that you have not taken care of these people. And what that means is, you know, what happened to Bill Lepp? Bill Lepp went to a high school, there's a kid in the second row who took with his camera a recording of him performing, and when you type in Bill Lepp in YouTube, that's the video that comes up first. Which from Bill Lepp's perspective is a disaster. You know, because that video is terrible. I mean, he's pretty good as a performer. He's not at his best. He didn't know he was on camera. You know, and it's broken up. It's like long piece, and it's broken up pieces, so the story doesn't really, it's disjointed. Mm-hmm. And so it's
second
really important that...
Second grader's house and breaking
lights. Yeah, yeah. So it's really important that we're taking care of this group. We're taking care of needs. It's also equally important that this group is taking care of the festival's needs. And that's not happening right now. The storytellers aren't coming into a festival situation or into an event situation and saying, okay, these stories have been videotaped before, and I'm quite willing to give you access to these stories. These are the stories that you can take. These are the stories you can take and use out. And here's even an original story for this venue that fits only this venue. This CD right here, the National Storytelling Environmental Retreat. We partnered with an organization. You all have partnership organizations, right? You're partnering with people who have audiences who come to your event. We did this event locally. Tecumseh Land Trust. They weren't necessarily the distributor, but they brought the audience. I didn't do any PR. They did all the PR. We had a full house. Had three seats left. It was a small house, 50 people. But still, it was nice to have a full house. I didn't do any work for that part of the thing. This is the city. This is the content. The first story in the city is my city. I wrote that story for them. The story embodies the mission statement of the organization. Right? This is a relationship we're running into. I'm taking care of their needs, they're taking care of my needs, respecting each other's backs. I have this beautiful content. Let's see who's going to get it.
Ooh. Oh, stuff. Oh, wow.
Ooh.
More stuff.
Yeah.
Kate Dunning.
Oh, man.
Hey.
So then we look at, so we have these issues. We have these issues of taking care of each other that are an issue in our community, and it's really important. We talk about that, and one of the things that happens in this conversation is it's a conversation about absolutes. It's black and white. So storytellers are terrified of being recorded. Festival owners are nervous about breaking copyright law, and there's this like line. You don't cross the line. Or there's the opposite. People who record everything, you know, and may actually be in breach of copyright in some cases. It's not clear. And it's really important that it be clear. Because as it's clear, as we move forward, if we're successful in doing the shift to managing content correctly, there is real money here. This is not small-time old, I mean, as I've seen it in many places in the country, small time, small venue, this is like real potential of getting Disney nervous. This is real opportunity. And we really have to be clear. That's why I have contracts with all my guests. We have to be crystal clear. Maybe my show will never blow up. Maybe I'll never get that 20-minute or 10-minute, 5-minute, 3-minute piece of NPR that causes me to get the million listeners I think I deserve. But I have to plan for it. And you do too. So you have to have a legal contract with your guests that defines relationship, and most importantly, in terms of if you're as organizers, you make sure these people own their intellectual property, and you own the recordings they let you on. And that's an important. And again, I'm not making it black and white. You know, it's a series of gray areas. So let's just look. Let's draw a picture here. Here's your content, right? Here's your content, and Sean was just talking about this, and it was really well done what he said. So here's your content. So let's just look at social media. So here is Facebook. This content here on Facebook. Here is LinkedIn. See that slice? See that? Here's Twitter over here. Right? See that little piece there? If they want more, they have to come over here. If they want more, they have to come here. See how there's some that's similar, so you don't have to create that much. There's some overlap some places. So LinkedIn, I think LinkedIn would tie in. I did LinkedIn. What's the other one?
MySpace.
I'm sorry, I don't really give MySpace the time of day.
Many people don't.
MySpace. So, again, it's not black and white. It's in little slivers. You're handing them a little slice of pie. Here's your pie. I got more, but it's over here. You got to sign up. Get this list. You got to come into my space. Come into my pool. And there are content packages online, blogs, etc., that you don't really have to do a lot of work. I mean, you should be worried about content generation, and you should not be worried about designing a website or making it look pretty. There are already packages that you can just today, in 20 minutes, you could be functional in terms of having a blog that allows you to have stuff up for people to come to. Now, that gets into this new idea in Web 2.0. If you haven't heard of it yet, I'm going to show you the symbol. This is an RSS feed. And this is the background of the entire architecture that's holding this stuff together. And this RSS feed, really simple syndication is what it means. And it's just basically a file with a list of files. And you are just dividing up your content into different feeds. So there's one feed for the Twitter people. That's what Twitter is. It's just a list of little tiny text files. You know, you have content over here at Facebook, so you have different feeds for each of the different groups. You have a master feed for your own content, or maybe it's, you know, on the website. I'm going too much into Latin. I'm trying not to. I'm trying to get
how much time of what you do is dedicated to this?
It's dedicated to this? It used to be a lot less. It's become a lot more. I'm actually doing I think of it as a social experiment. I'm spending about 6 months on social media. And at the end of that period, I'm approaching the end of that period, and I think I might actually pull back a little bit. I have an automatic thing like Sean talked about. I have 107 shows, and every day I have two tweets that go out. One tweet in the morning says, this show, here's the title, here's the link. In the afternoon is a quote from the show with a link. And it's been pretty successful. I've gotten a lot of listeners. I haven't been feeling the link base building up that I expected. I used to do a lot of link building where I go out into communities online and bring links in. And I think that's more worth my time than what I'm trying to do. Again, I'm playing a different game. I'm trying to build the source. You know, I'm trying to build this. My hope is eventually to, when you type in the word storytelling into Google, my site will come up number one. That's my goal, in a sense. And by doing that, I'm hoping to provide a service for the community that everybody who's been a guest on my show has a page on that site, you know, that builds the community's worth in the world. So I want to talk about how content, the life cycle of content. Are you all following me? Any questions about some of the things? Training me really? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so the life cycle of content. We're just going to do audio. We should do video, too. Maybe we'll get to it. I don't know. So I guess I want this readable. So can I have, Jeff, can I get you, because you know a lot about this, actually. So let's start here. What is the first, that when somebody tells a story in front of your audience, that is the first part of content. What do you call that? We call that a live performance. So life cycle, it begins as a live performance. It's going live. Does anyone here know what you could be doing at the moment when it's being told? Give me internet use.
Streaming.
You could stream it.
Stream it. There are different types of streaming. We will go with live stream, right? Free. And then just underneath free, write paid. Don't underestimate paid. You have fans in other parts of the country. You have people who come to your show once and live three states away. Those people could be attending your festival, your event.
There you go.
Right?
Attend an event over the internet.
It's possible.
People who are not here would have paid for the NSN to see the major concerts for the NSN conference. They would have paid for that.
Right. And they will pay if I have my way with NSN. But the key idea here, yes? I saw him?
Thanks.
Yes?
So I'm I'm very torn on this subject because the whole reason I wanted to use storytelling was it's one of the most powerful social tools I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I want it to be in-person connections. I want communities to grow.
Well, this is the discussion about, is it storytelling anymore if the audience isn't in the room?
Yeah.
Which is a very interesting discussion we could spend 3 or 4 hours on.
Ask Eric Clapton.
Ask the Old Spice.
How many of you have ever seen Eric Clapton?
Yeah, real life.
How many of you have ever heard a song played by Eric Clapton?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I rest my case.
The thing about the thing to recognize is that many people come to a storytelling event because they want to be part of the social network and social contract.
The community.
And those people are not going to stop coming if you do this. This is a different need, a different service. You can set it up so the IP addresses, the service that provides the stream, they will block anybody in your area within a certain distance. You can block people within 100 miles of you of watching it live.
Really?
Yeah. So you're not in conflict with your audience. Like Sean said, he knows within 30 miles. Well, guess what? He sets a radius of 50 miles, and now he's got the entire country to potentially. Now it's just like building any other audience. It takes time. You have to build the audience slowly. It's not going to happen. Don't expect to hire the company that does this, have them come in, and expect to make your money back that first year. Don't expect to make your money back in 3 years. Yeah.
Talk Story Festival. I got a sponsor, which was an internet provider that was trying to learn how to do live streaming.
Mm.
I offered my event.
So let's go on to another. What's another next cycle? Let's say in a few days. What's the next
podcast?
Just to not so people are confused. Let's not even use the word podcast, even though you wrote it up there. Right underneath the word podcast, write RSS audio. Right, so it's a really simple syndication, a list of audio files, right, free. And then underneath free, we put paid. There is a tendency here in this community, especially in the non-Generation Xers, to get distracted by the words. So podcast is distracting. What's a podcast? No, it's just a radio show that's on the internet. Don't worry about it. Right? Okay, I'm just going to speed this up a little bit. Here's another one. How about this one? Your website, www.yourfestival.com. And same process, right? After that, you write free or paid. Membership only site. What if someone goes to your show and you say during the show, if you would like to share the show with your friends, you can sign up right now over here for $10 for the year, and you can listen to everything that happened tonight in the membership area that's only for members. Come on over and sign up, and you can share it with your friends.
If it's only for members, how can they share it with their friends?
They sign in their membership keys, their friends are right there and with them. That's the idea. Or you could have coupons. You know, they sign up and they have the right to invite two people. You know, the possibilities are limitless. How about this one? 1-900-YOUR-FESTIVAL.
Did
you hear that? 900. You know the difference between a 900 and 800, right?
Yeah.
Right? Or how about get rid of the 900, just put an area code and you have a phone and people call in and they hear a story and it's free. I don't really like that option of the telephone. I don't think it's a good representation of storytelling. But it has potential. Right now, there's a very big, I think it's called the Mommy App. Does that sound right? And the Mommy App is it's on the iPhone, and the mom's in the car, and the kids are whining, and she dials in the app, and she hands it to the kid. She picks the story, hands it to the kid, and the kid listens to the story.
Oh, you're thinking Tales to Go.
Yeah, Tales to Go. So you can covered member. Okay, and the other one that's really cool, again, going back with time, is you take your content and you put it on CDs. Right? This is Clifton Everhouse's Scary Stories last fall from my group. This is this spring. Right? So notice the pattern here. The one, two. It's really clear that if you don't, you got this one, you're missing something.
You know? And when I get to 3 or 4, it'll be even clearer that there's other things.
There's a series.
There's a series, yeah.
And then you're going to do the digitally remastered version, right?
Right. We're trying to think like how the big media, the television companies think. They give it away for free. They have a time period. So we're taking that, those ideas of time, access, and we're taking that live performance. That gives you, you have an hour and a half to get there. It's over, right? Then you have the stream. The stream is only available during the performance. The RSS, the free, right? The free audio is only available for so long. The paid, I'd actually do paid first. Paid is available first. I have an iPhone application. Diane last night was talking to me, and all of a sudden I said, oh, you have my iPhone? She says, yeah. She whips it out. She starts playing one of my shows in front of me, right? And here's what blew my mind. I had put out the show I'm about to release. I'd forgotten. I'd put it out there first. So I gave it to people who purchased access first. And then I'm going to release it for free on the website. So again, she felt special. She had this show. I'm like, how do you have that show? I'd forgotten, you know? How do you have that show? I mean, what did you do? Get on my computer and steal it? And she's like, no, it's just on there. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot that I did that. And she was like, oh, yeah, I got the show. You know, no one else. 10, you know, I think it's 15 people in the world have access to it. You know?
There's a musician, Steve Pultz, who is now set up at his live shows, and he's very much like people travel around the country to see him, where you can get a recording of the show you heard that night when you leave.
Right.
Wow.
Yes, so and there are people who do that for you.
Record, you and wow. He's got it set up where you can get it on a... On a flash drive. So you can then download it to your computer, and then you have a flash drive that you can use for anything that has his name on it.
Right, and flash drives are cheap. They are cheap right now.
But you can walk out like, this experience was so special, you can walk out with that.
Wow.
Well, I need to be time disciplined here, so I'm going to move on. We have just a few minutes left. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Keep going, Bill.
So I just want to, again, this is sort of the Wild West, and what happened to the Wild West is... There was a whole group of people there who didn't count in the story, and they lost out. So I think it's really important, again, that we go into this with integrity, and we look at, you know, what are the rights? So the right of the artist. The artist has the right to be fairly represented, to have an honest broker, to have a legal framework, to have a fair share, to know when they're being recorded, and to have the right not to be recorded, and not to be stressed about it. I would say, when you have... sort of open mic stuff, you know, I would have a night when it is recorded. You get people there who would be like, I want to be recorded, I want to be on your show, da da da. And then have a night when it's not recorded. Mm-hmm. This is sort of the practice round. The real thing's tomorrow night when we're recording and it's going to go out to the 2,000 people who are following us. But, you know, like The Moth, everybody knows you go in, but they have nights in The Moth when it's not recorded. They have times.
They have lots of time that's not recorded in relationship to what is.
Right. So, and they can see those people, and they can say, you should come back and do that again.
Or do they record everything, but they don't release stuff?
No. The Moth, the one thing about The Moth that's really true is that there's a farm system. There are open mic slam opportunities where they see who's telling what, and then they will select and coach people before they bring them to the next level, which is the mics where we record.
So I'm just going to say the same idea I showed you before on the circle a different way. You know, so over here I have Facebook, over here I have LinkedIn, over here I have Twitter, over here I have the blog. So I have the stories, my content, you know, and over here I have this membership area, this private sector. And I'm putting 60% of what I own here with that content is behind that barrier. And then I have all these different places where people can listen. And it might be the same 20% different places, or it might be different, you know. But this is... the mistake people make coming into this is they think, oh, I should be like Google, just give everything away for free. Well, Google actually is an advertising company, and there's no way you're ever going to reach any numbers that are going to make any revenue as an advertiser. You have to get, to be in the corporate model, 20,000 hits a month, downloads a month, which is just not going to happen, at least for, you know, unless you're like The Moth. And even The Moth is considering dropping their podcast. They get 600,000 downloads per show. And they're thinking about, we don't know if we're going to keep it. That may not be worth it. Okay. So, again, the Moth doesn't have that 600, membership.
600,000 people download from a website live personal stories every month.
Mm. Right?
That's... Compared with a weekend in Jonesboro that gets 10,000 people, which is considered a success.
Right. But understand that the weekend, you have 10,000 people who are paying however many hundreds of dollars a person. Yeah. You know, you have to recognize that Jimmy knows credit. I don't want to give Jimmy no credits. Utah, I think, is up to 16,000, 18,000? Yeah, that's amazing.
So you're 16,000.
Right. And all of those people, potentially, that extra income is here. Because you have all those years going back of all that content was generated. Now, one of the things that's important, take the same model here, and I got to end, but we take that same model and we apply it to the storytellers. So we tell the storyteller, okay, you have 10 stories you're going to tell. One is going to go here. One is going to go here. One is going to go here, and you know, two are going to go here. I'm not going to say seven, actually. And five are not going to go anywhere. You tell us which ones. We will respect your rights. Now, another issue is some of these big-name tellers, or even small-name tellers, they have copyright agreements with book publishers. Mm. And the book publisher has basically locked them in, so they cannot, I had two people turn me down because the book publisher had basically told them they couldn't interview anybody and be on tape, which is just horrifying to me that they had to make that agreement. Yeah. So exclusivity agreements are an issue. And I really think it's important to not, you know, just like when you get a stable of storytellers and you're getting every single angle, that's the exact same thing you want to do, you know, with your storytellers. You want to bring in some tellers who are new, some tellers who are old, you know, and you want to really respect and represent their interests. My time is up. Thank you so much. Scary stories.
Thanks.
Ooh. Judy Sima.
Judy.
I'm not looking. I'm just looking up at the card here. Jane.
Oh, thank you.
I got three more here. Mary Foreman. This is episode 100 about the podcast interviews.
With him.
With me. Jeff Gear. You don't want to.
His card's in there.
You already listened to this. Jeff and me talk every week on the phone. Marion.
Bronte.
There you go.
Oh, great.
This is how to answer questions on how to work with audiences, interviews.
Thank you.
And finally, Lorette Phillips. Wow, this table.
Aren't you
going to
say, gee, now I've got all these emails to add to my...
Data collection.
One quick thing for you, if any of you are using Twitter and understand Twitter working, etc., we do have a hashtag for this conference, hashtag NSN2010. So far, me and Tim and Diane are using it, but the rest of you can. So join us on this hashtag NSN2010. If you don't know what that is and you are using Twitter, talk to me or Tim.
I would ask you to take this back to your event, take a stack, take as many as you want. I have 2,000 more in my luggage, so please take these back and spread them to your audiences. Spread them around to people you know who are organizers. There is a college, Diane Williams came to me yesterday and said, I don't understand why people aren't talking more about your show. It's like getting a college education in a box, and it's free. So come, take these, steal them.
We got to do three quick little things before you go. I promised Nancy 2 minutes to talk about this afternoon.
So this afternoon's masterclass on seeing the big picture and artistic vision ties in so much to what we're talking about here. It ties into figuring out how to serve your audience. It ties into having that sense of really what are you doing and why are you doing it? What is in it for you? What is in it for them? I saw that there weren't that many people coming. I'm not necessarily saying, you know, dump the one you were going to, because if I could bilocate, there's like 3 masterclasses I'd be in right now. But it's a lot of times producers think the artistic vision thing is just for performers. And it's not. It's for this. And if I was trying to say what's a unique thing about that workshop, a unique thing about that workshop is getting performers and producers in the room together so we can do exactly what Eric is talking about and start learning what are the interests and needs of the storytellers, what are the interests and needs of the producers, and how do we actually have that conversation together around storytelling. So that's part of what we're doing. If you're not coming to it, right now I offer you with my free thing. I'm so inspired by this. I'm making an offer at the end of that for as many people who want to buy coaching hours. I do coaching around stories, but I also do coaching around vision, around repertoire, around branding yourself. I'm offering as many hours as people want to pay for before August 6th at $25 an hour. And then my usual is $100 an hour.
So you want to
do 1 hour, it's 25. If you were like, no, I could spend 100, well, you get 4. The first, anybody here can't come to my thing, your first hour of conversation about this is free.
Whoa.
And then we can move on from there. Just, I feel a strong sense of mission around how getting clear on our vision helps do all the things they're talking about. Here, it's one of the steps.
And once again, we have a demonstration of give something first and then get it in reciprocal. Which brings me to this. If you are not a current member of the National Storytelling Network, or if you are not a current member of the Producers and Organizers SIG.
You don't have to be a member of NSN to be a member of...
You do not have to be an NSN member to be a member of the SIG. Anyway, if you want to do one or both and you are not currently signed up, I've got the paper. I'll be happy to have the conversation with you right after this. And finally, the last item on my agenda. Thank you very much for coming. I hope this was helpful. Sean will be around like for 24 hours and then he's gone. But Eric and Ellen and I will be around for the duration. Feel free to have conversation with any of us around these things. And on a related note, Nancy and I are doing a project on teaching artists and what it takes to be a successful teaching artist in the classroom, in the No Child Left Behind Teach to the Test factory school environment.
It's a focus group, so it's a conversation about it.
Tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow dinner, and you said the...
Over at California Kitchen.
Oh, pizza.
Right? Okay. We're going to have this conversation. If you are interested in that, let us know. We are going to be limited to, I think, 20 people. So if you want to come to that conversation or you know someone who should be at that conversation, whether they are on the education side or on the artist side, that's an opportunity. We paid for the food. Take the food, take the water, the cans, whatever's there.
Or leave it for the masterclass that is happening this afternoon. In the same room.
Okay, well, I actually think they're going to wheel it out, the cart out before you start. So,
okay, there you go. Just everyone else giving. Okay. I'm going to be sending a note out. Everybody send me an email. If you run an event at the National Festival, those CDs I handed out, not the group ones, but the interview ones, I moved $1,000 in product, without performing there at the National Festival. So I'm interested in having my product at your festival moving for you. So I will send you a letter to that fact, et cetera.
Does anybody at their festivals have any performers coming from out of the U.S. to perform?
Yes.
If the answer is yes, it's a significant liability risk. Homeland Security is heavily involved in that right now, and the visa issues are significant. You can find yourself in a very difficult position. I encourage you to take that issue very seriously. Everybody coming in here to perform has to have a visa. You as a festival producer will be held liable. They will not, or they might. They might go to jail. You will be held liable. And in terms of clearance with regard to whether or not you are a legitimate arts festival, Homeland Security has designated the Artists Guild of New York to make that determination. And if they don't think you're a legitimate performing arts festival, they will say that none of your artists coming over legitimately deserve visas. It's a very complex, very difficult, very timely topic. There is just came out a couple of days ago, an expedited visa ruling that has come out to reduce the amount of time necessary to get a coming to the U.S. visa, but it still takes 14 days. we had a woman who was going to be from Israel, a friend of hers, I think, performing in the Minneapolis Fringe and all the Midwest Fringes. She's gone. She cannot come into this country and perform.
Wow.
So it's a very serious issue, and don't underestimate it.
And so, on a related note, if you are an NSN member, you received an email recently asking you to please have a conversation with the staff people at your state arts council, because those people do have some leverage with the National Assembly of State Arts Agencies, which is the organization that works with the National Endowment for the Arts, creating the arts discipline list, which is a list for reporting on arts activities. And we are working very hard with National Storytelling Network is working very hard to see storytelling show up on that list as a fine arts discipline. It is currently listed only as an example of folk arts, which is wonderful, but we want it to also be listed as an example of fine arts. And when things like that happen, then it is easier to go to these organizations like he is talking about and say, see, yes, see this list? See the word storytelling right here? You know what? My storytelling event is indeed a legitimate art form. It is indeed a legitimate arts activity. So you got that email if you're an NSN member, and I sure hope that you will take steps.
And if not, you'll be happy to send it to them.
Jane and I will find a way to make you get it again.
Yeah, and if you're forwarding it on what we sent to
please forward
arts
all.
Agency, please ask for the PDF version of it.
Yeah,
yeah. And it says it clearly
for your state
in
arts
here,
staff.
And we'll be glad to send that to you.
On behalf of all the people teaching master classes, make sure you eat and then try to be on time.
Yes.
All right, well, thank you very much.
I'm a teaching artist for them.
I'll put them out.
No, we're talking about, actually, we're talking about teaching artists who are looking for an opportunity but not necessarily for us. One of the fallouts is that
Thank you.
Blood sucking. You need to renew.
I don't know my number number, but I remember.
Cheers.
It's harder to get interns that are individual.
What did you do with it, Howard?
600 a day.
I put it in my bag. I don't know. I put it in my credit card.
Then you've got master classes.
Stay here for Nancy's and send a nice
message.
So it's really good.
That kind of conversation.
conversation.
Can I ask?
Thank you. Yeah.
So you want to do
very
short
charges and so on. It's like all the sacred history.
You know,
it's
just
like a
Well, this is the that conversation is not even the same conversation. It's a separate conversation. So
it does.
We haven't actually
it
formally
did.
Scheduled
but
a same conversation
out
for
to do it at
process.
Process.
So,
shows what you can do.
You need an annual meeting.
That gives you, I know we need an annual meeting. We haven't had one, so we'll work it out.
It should take two, but it's had been there, so that was gospel.
Yeah,
so
right.
No
for Kate Lund, for Kate to say. You know,
marketing.
I
think with large, it stays exactly
and
where it is.
And a 12-year-old. Oh, is that the problem?
$1,000.
All right. Thank you. Do we hear from
Kristen
at all?
So that's kind of how.
Last time I talked to her, she was out of it for a while.
This is basically your desire.
Have we done that?
This is.
I signed up for that. That's not
really.
Did you sign up for that one? Should we turn? Ooh. All right. That would be an interesting.
This is all your add-ons, et cetera.
I might get more
of this. I think you might
all about
the
machine.
Any questions?
Yeah, it's in here. It's in here.
But I have everything.
I'm not going to tell people.
You're right
now.
Well, the
robots are going to be more or less.
And in terms of other stuff, promotional materials, you know, that will be downstairs. The registration, that means that. So we can go downstairs and sign up and get our credentials.
And then what happens if two little something?
This afternoon, we'll have the master class.
We did all the workshops also.
Courses.
Tomorrow night and Saturday night.
Always an excuse. We're offering free dinner. $5.
Eric is going to bring his ass over to Indianapolis.
You can email me and I'll put you in
touch
with.
Yes.
I had a hard time to share about that group.
And we don't give you anything for free. Oh, freight.
I'm just.
Well, by
the way,
they have some material already recorded. In terms of this,
one of the things we're looking to do is we've already agreed to improve it.
So what I said,
just waiting for the technology to catch up on our website. It's called an academic membership. So you need to be a member, and it's only cost $60.
Right.
If you want. And because of this, they can pay $25 because of the and they would get the magazine online. The biggest cost for the membership is that magazine that you get from somebody.
Correct.
So a student would be able to apply to Europe on their membership, would be able to get all the other, all the other membership benefits, except the magazines would be online. So we are.
And I'm paying. I'm paying somebody $300 a day
to
sit there and record everything.
Yeah.
Be tough to deal with the
That's what I'm paying. I mean, that's done.
It's anybody, I mean, that's not that. I'm not paying a big company to come in and do it. That's an individual person who just bought this, used to be back in Utah.
No, I'm talking about digital, used to work with our sound company. So there's good relationships with them. I could just come in and do it for that.
Yeah, we had workshops a couple of years running on that, at different companies.
Yeah.
And I will say, I will tell you that in truth, it has been various levels of controversy.
Yeah, right. But is that storytelling?
Oh, yeah. Along with is storytelling.
But it seems, it seems like a controversy
that comes up with all of this online.
I guess we just don't have people who are promoting it and active to say we need to do this. You know, no, there isn't anybody. You know, it's not even a conversation, really.
No, I mean, for content producers in the world, all of this stuff is a given.
Yeah.
And the question is, do we want to be content producers in the world or not? If we do, we got to deal with it. If we don't, we can continue to do small events and smaller and older audiences and the spirit.
So digital storytelling, you know, part of that.
Well, and actually,
Break a leg on your performance bike.
Thank you.
Sounds like great stuff.
It's fun. Good nature.
Actually, anybody.
So much of the problem is, you know, time and standards and testing and get all that stuff. Anyway,
I didn't even get to some of the stuff I wanted to cover. I had an hour-long presentation plan.
Uh-huh.
We're at two right now. And